So here's the thing. I'm a cat person, I admit it. But knowing that about myself, I have held myself in check in terms of exploiting that in the stories I do on this show, all in the name of not opening a Pandora's litter box. But this next story, it's as if the stars align. This was always going to be the story to break my fast. We just had to wait for it to happen. And the human in this story is Paul Robertson, a truck driver who lives here in St. Paul, who joins me in studio. Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you today?
I'm great. How long have you been a truck driver?
About 5-6 years now.
Five, six years. And what brought you to St. Paul? Because I think you're from Canada originally, right?
Originally I was. I'm another one of those guys in the performing arts who for years and years tried that. A little time in Toronto, New York City, Los Angeles. And I woke up one day in sort of my mid-40s and I was like, I'm getting really tired of not making a dime doing this.
I was in plays and theater,
and that's the place to be if you love it. And yes. I'm just a rotten businessman when it comes to show business. So I just said goodbye to that, and then I tried different things, and finally I sat down and I was like, what can I possibly do? And I hit on truck driving, and it turned out to be a great choice for me. I love it. I drive around the country. I get to meet people, mm-hmm. see the scenery, all that kind of stuff. But I had a cat at that point. I had a little guy named Howie.
Uh-huh. Now, this is before you became a truck driver.
Before I became a truck driver, right. I had Howie. And so when I moved into the truck, I was like, well, the people at the company were good enough. Get into the truck with Howie. And that was great. It established the pattern. And then Howie got sick. Mm-hmm. And I had to put him to sleep about 2 years ago. And so I went a year without a cat. But I missed the company. I really, it's like having family, there with you. So I adopted Percy from Animal Rescue here in the Twin Cities. And he's just great. He's the calmest, sweetest little pussycat. Yeah. Now he's coming over to me. Now that I'm saying nice things about him.
Well, how do you know? I mean, it seems like it worked with Howie. Yeah. But getting in a truck and being in a truck for 6 hours, I mean, yeah. I don't think every cat in the world's going to go along with that idea.
You seem to be
two for two, though.
I think I got lucky. I just tried, and I went on a hunch, and I scooped him up and took him out. And he took to it pretty much right away. I built him a little platform so mm-hmm. he can ride shotgun, in the passenger seat. And then he just basks there in the sunshine, takes naps all day long. He's really, really gotten used to it. He really likes it.
And like any good story that's ever been told in the history of man, we have to start at a rest stop in Ohio.
Exactly. Oh, that old cliche.
That old cliche of the rest stop in Ohio, right near the border with Indiana.
Yeah, so here I am. It's 2 weeks ago, and I'm driving along, and I've had lunch, and I'm not feeling too good. I'm like, that didn't really agree with me. So I think I'll just pull in here for the night and I'll start up again tomorrow. But in the middle of the night, holy moly, I just got nailed. I was really, really feeling sick. So I was not going to go anywhere. And I was overheating so much from feeling sick that I turned on the truck and ran the air conditioning. Next day at noon, I wake up and I'm finally kind of human again. But there's something very wrong. And I look and I can see that the passenger window is open and Percy is gone. And this has happened once before where he steps on the switch.
The button. For the window.
Yeah. And he stepped on the button, opened the window, and then out he went. And there were probably birds outside too involved because that always gets them.
He let himself out.
So he let himself out. And of course, I wake up and I don't know if he's been gone 5 minutes or an hour or 3 hours. So I do the classic, parent thing. I grab the food bag.
That's right. Geez,
and I'm outside.
You rattle it.
At first, I went around the truck, shake, shake, shake. Percy, where's he? And he didn't come out. And then I'm looking around. I'm trying to think like Percy, like where would I go? And there's all these manicured bushes. I don't think he'd go there. But there was some scrub off to the side. I searched that. And now I'm at a loss. I don't know where he is. So I went back inside and I'm taking a little rest and I got on Facebook and I moaned and groaned and basically said, this is a really lousy day I'm having.
Your exact statement was, this day can totally eat it. And then after describing that you got food poisoning, quote, I've been searching this rest area now ever since, calling his name, rattling his dry food bag, nothing. I have no idea when he got out. He could be miles away. And there's a storm coming.
Yes. Yes. There was this
winter storm.
Yeah, this was 2 weeks ago when they were saying we were going to get nailed with 2 feet of snow and everybody hold on to your hats and all this stuff. And it is. It's starting to get windy and it's starting to get noticeably colder. And so I'm thinking, Percy, get in back in here. Enough is enough.
Yeah.
And but I can't find him. Well, I put the word out, and I'm a bit of a photographer from time to time. If you look on my Facebook page, you see I'm way into, up to my neck in women's flat track roller derby, which I love, love, love. And it's just an amazing sport, and there are great leagues all everywhere you go. And there it turned out, they're a very active community. So they just mobilized.
Oh, the roller girl community.
The roller girl community just started. Within minutes, I got texts from Sweden. I got one from Portland, Oregon saying, what can I do? and I'm like, I don't know. You're in Portland. And then she said, that's okay. I know what I'll do. I'm going to phone every shelter in the area. And so I think about six people said that. So they were probably, the shelters were probably like, yeah, we know about the orange cat by the fifth or sixth call. But anyway, so they started calling, and then people were like, "We'll be there right away. We'll show up. I'll be there within half an hour." One guy texted me, and so I was feeling a little better. I wasn't feeling so alone, but I still didn't know where he was. And people were saying, "Look under the truck," but I was doing that. He just wasn't there. So the guy shows up, my friend, and he's got a searchlight, and we go out, and it starts to rain, and it's night, and it's freezing, windy, and we're out there. I didn't have a coat on, and we're out there soaking wet, going around, beating the bushes. Percy, shake, shake, shake. Percy, shake, shake, shake. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And so I finally crawled back into bed, and I'm like, I hope he's just found somewhere.
Yeah.
And the next day comes, and now I have a new dilemma, which is that I'm a commercial truck driver.
Yeah.
And I have a truck full of stuff that's hundreds of thousands of dollars, and I've signed on the dotted line saying I will have it delivered by such and such a time. And I don't have the choice to just stay if I want to. So, but these people were saying, we're going to come, we're going to bring traps, we're going to search, you know, don't feel bad. If you have to let him go, he's got a chip in him and that. So,
yeah.
So I said, okay. And around 11 o'clock, I had to move the truck. And I just felt so low. You love your animals.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like your kids. And I suddenly felt like I was abandoning my child. And, it really sucked.
And you wrote around 10:30, I had to leave without him. I feel like the worst cat dad ever.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Even knowing he's okay now, you're still upset about that.
Yeah, I am. The world we ask them to live in with us is like a real people world. And, you know, they really depend on us to guide them and protect them. And I just felt like I'd really let them down. But anyway, so I had to keep going. And you know, now the wind is howling and it's snowing.
And
it's raining. I'm heading to, I had to pull over and fuel just a few miles down the road. And I do that. And my hands hurt. By the time I got back in the truck.
So you were freezing.
I'm freezing. So I'm thinking, he's back there dying. There's no bush warm enough for this. But I kept going. And so I go like about 100 and like 3 hours, 4 hours, three and a half hours down the road. And I get to a delivery, a factory where I have to deliver. And I turn around and back into the loading dock. And this is a factory that says you can't sit in the truck. So I turn off the truck, go inside. How he didn't leave at that a moment of peace, but somehow he didn't. I went in. I didn't know that, though. I didn't even know he's with me. So I just go inside and hang out, and the guys unload the truck and sign the paperwork, and now I've got another notice that I have to be somewhere else. I get back in the truck, close it all up, and I go about 225 miles the other way, and I'm down in a place called Shoals, Indiana, and there's a company we deliver a lot for, U.S. Gypsum, and they have a mining plant down there. I get into the parking lot, and there's the parking lot is gravel and very dusty, and you pull in and you just basically drop your trailer, pick up the other trailer, grab the paperwork out of a shack, and you can just leave. And so I'm in there and I drop the trailer. I go over to the shack to get the paper. It's dark. I'm feeling as low as a snail's belly. I grab the paper. I turn around and look, here's a stray cat coming out from under my truck, because it doesn't remotely register on me that this could be. My cat is 400 miles behind me dying in the snow. And this cat comes out and I'm like, I thought, oh, is there a cat that lives in this yard or something? And then I thought, what is it with me and cats today? Like, you know, I lose my cat and another cat. And in the middle of this, I suddenly recognize him. And here he comes. And I just looked at him, and he looks at me like with these big eyes, like, Dad. And I just died. I couldn't believe it. I just thought, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. And I scooped him up. Come here, you. Come here, you. I'm going to scoop him up right now. And I scooped him up, and I took him into the truck, and I put him in there, and we did this. We cuddled,
yeah,
and we snuggled, and he was rubbing his face, and he couldn't believe that he was back. And he would jump off me, then he would jump back on me, then he would rub his face again, then he would go to his food dish. And finally, and oh my gosh, he stunk. He smelled so bad.
Smelly.
Because an old truck, these old trucks, they just have this crusted diesel ash underneath, and they just smell terrible. So, he smelled. But I didn't have the heart to give him a bath.
Well, but that it means that you went 400 miles.
Yes.
In the snow,
yeah,
and the rain and the freezing, and he was somehow under the truck. And he wasn't under the trailer because you got rid of one of the trailers.
Exactly.
He was under your cab.
Yep. He would have. I'm guessing he got on, and he's very lucky in his choices, because the engine unbelievably hot.
He could have been scalded to death.
Right. He would have. It would have gotten, if he'd been on the engine, it would have gotten so hot, he would have jumped off no matter what. And that means he would have landed on the ground under the truck while I was going 65 and probably been crushed.
Right.
Instead, he must have crawled up into the wheel well, down the crankshaft, and then ended up at the transmission, which gets warm but isn't that bad. And there's a lot of space under there. There actually is a fair amount of space. And so he found a place there, or on the frame, or around the fuel tanks, which are also, and it's pretty warm down there.
So he may have been in a place where he could, quote unquote, lounge a little, or was he in a place where he was holding on for dear life?
I think
for 400 miles.
I think a little of both. I think he probably made a first choice, and then when we started to move, you know, and the crankshaft started turning, he would have freaked out, and then maybe moved, but whatever he did, I even went to the guys in the shop afterwards, and I was like, you won't believe what happened with my cat. And they were all like, what? And I said, where could he have been? And that was their answer, was somewhere on the frame, or on top of the transmission, or somewhere in around the fuel tanks. He found a spot, wedged himself in, and then clearly wasn't coming out for nothing until at the end, when I dropped that trailer. He probably could suddenly see sky and air, and then he saw my feet walking around, and he thought, ooh, this is my moment. Yeah. I need to come out now.
I kind of get a pit in my stomach when I think about if my cat had been, you know, just, and the fact that this could have gone wrong in so many points along the route.
Yeah, it could have. If he had, I know exactly what you mean. I try not to think about it right now, but it'll haunt me for years thinking about this.
Was he okay?
And he was fine. When I picked him up, he wasn't wet, so he had somehow gotten himself away from the spray. He wasn't burned or anything. He really looked at me like, Dad, can we stop doing this? And can we do something else now that involves me going inside again? And he was so happy to be back in his little spot, and he ate And I, like I said, I didn't have the heart to give him a bath. He just ate and then went right to sleep. He got on the driver's seat and passed out.
Well, I'm glad he's here in the studio with us.
Oh, I am too.
He's enjoying walking around.
He is.
Can he meow on command? Is he very vocal?
I'd
love him to. You want to say something here, buddy?
Percy?
I'm holding Percy right now just for the radio.
I'm gonna try. This is what I always say when I'm feeding him. Percy, where's he? Percy. Percy, where's he?
Nope.
No, he's just going
to... Now he's just going to come to you for food.
He's just
going
to come to me for food. Percy,
Well, I understand, Percy, if you don't want to do this interview, that's fine. I'm glad your human was here. And Paul, I was going to say good luck, but you've already had it.
I think I have. I think he and I both lost a life. We both have eight. Well, he's got eight left. Mine's just a bit shorter. But I'm so happy he's back. Look at you. You're a good boy.
Well, thank you both for being here.
Oh, you're welcome, Tom. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Everybody wants to be a cat, because the cat's the only cat who knows where it's at. Everybody's picking up on that feline beat, because everything else is obsolete. Now a square with a home makes you wish you weren't born every time you play. With a square in the act, he can set music back to the caveman days. I've heard some corny birds who tried to sing, but a cat's the only cat.